When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, everyone, welcome into an afternoon edition of the Patriots Beat podcast live on the CLNS Media Network presented by our friends over at Prize Picks. It is Brian Hines from Pat's Pulpit back with Alex Barth from 98.5, the Sports Hub, to break down and preview the start of NFL free agency, where the legal tampering period starts on Monday and then the new league year starts on Wednesday. So we should get tons of action over the next few days and weeks. And the action actually started on Tuesday, I believe, right before the tag deadline, because the Patriots used their transition tag on Kyle Duggar. Everyone had to go rush and Google the transition tag rules as a quick refreshment there. So it's a little bit different than the franchise tag. It is the sum of the 10 highest paid players at the position instead of the franchise tag is 5. So instead of a 17 and change million dollar salary, it's a one-year deal for Kyle Duggar valued at $13.81 million, but he also has the right to test the market, see other offers, and teams can then, you know, offer him a contract, and the Patriots have the right to match any deal that he comes back with. So kind of a restricted free agent with a one-year $13.8 million offer on the table. That's how the transition tag works, and then they can, of course, still negotiate a long-term deal here with him as well. So that was kind of the first domino that falls, the first big move for Elliott Wolf and Jerod Mayo in charge there. And Kyle Duggar gets the transition tag.
Well, see, it's kind of like that, but don't let Felger hear you say that, because he will yell at you on the radio for suggesting that, because there is a big difference that there is no comp. I don't know if you heard that clip, but compensation that comes back.
Unless they can rescind it and then get compensation.
Oh, they can.
Yeah. I don't know. So I don't know if there's a deadline to do that. Like, if they can wait till he gets an offer and be like, oh, we're not going to do this, so let's rescind it. But there is a way they can rescind the tag and then get compensation.
What compensation would they get?
If he leaves, then I think it would be a comp pick.
They shouldn't be getting comp picks. One way or the other, shouldn't be getting. If they're getting comp picks next year, something has gone horribly, yeah, horribly, horribly wrong, because they should sign more than enough free agents to cancel that out. So I don't give a crap about that.
Yeah.
I don't entirely get this, because they do this all the time where you let a player, and it's a new regime, but let a player go, right? Let a player walk and say, all right, go out there, test your market, come back to us with the best offer. And if we can match it, we'll match it. If not, we won't. So I don't know if they don't trust Kyle Duggar, which if they don't trust him, that's probably mutual. And now you're just ticking him off, which isn't great. All for the right of first refusal, which he might have had anyway. I think that when you look at what the safety market's becoming now, here's the thing. If they were worried they were going to lose him and there was no other way to keep him, and they simply don't think he's an $18 million player, right? We have him as a closer to a $14 million player, but we can't afford to lose this guy, slap the transition tag on him, whatever. Kyle Duggar's not irreplaceable. One, you have Jabril Peppers, you have Marte Mapu, you have a couple of really good box safeties, and this is suddenly a very, very good safety free agent class. I'd rather Justin Simmons and Kyle Duggar. I would love for them to have a real back-end safety. You could even make an argument for Xavier McKinney over Kyle Duggar and get a true free safety, get somebody back in that Devin McCourty role. So unless they felt they were really going to lose him and he was irreplaceable, which I don't get, this doesn't make a ton of sense. Now, people have knocked the use of the transition tag in general. There is actually one player it did make sense for, and to me, that's Mike Onwenu. Because you use the transition tag basically when the two sides are really far apart. And I would understand if the Patriots and Mike Onwenu are far apart, because they might not agree on what position he plays. The Patriots may be approaching it and saying, we see you as guard. Even if they plan on playing him a tackle, they may look at it and say, we see you as a guard. We're going to pay you as a guard. We're not going to pay you as a tackle. Mike Onwenu's sitting there and looking at it and saying, I'm a tackle. That's what I am. So you put the transition tag on him and you basically say, all right, If the rest, go out there and see what the league thinks. If the league thinks you're a tackle, you're a tackle. We'll pay you as such. If the league doesn't think you're a tackle, we're just going to keep you on this. Onwenu is also the player you can't afford to lose because there's no tackles available and they don't have, you lose Onwenu, you're out both spots. You're out left and right. If they transition tagged Onwenu, that would make some sense to me. I still probably would have gone with the non-exclusive tag. Make sure you get the compensation back, but there is an argument for the transition tag for Mike Onwenu. There's a solid argument for that. I don't understand tagging Kyle Duggar in the first place, whatever tag they use. To me, it's more about who they tagged than whatever tag they used. You use the tag on a player you can't afford to lose. I'm not saying Kyle Duggar's a bad player, but they can get by without Kyle Duggar. They should be able to get by without Kyle Duggar. Mike Onwenu leaves, you're in big trouble now in terms of rebuilding that offensive line. And there was also a report, I think it was from Mike Reese. I don't remember. There was a report last week that didn't get a ton of play that Cole Strange might not be ready for spring practices. And look, you're not playing games. You're not playing games in the spring, but okay, so now you have an undersized lineman with a nagging knee injury. So how strong are you at guard? And now you're going to be down both tackle spots. I think David Andrews is coming back. I don't think he's retiring, but he's in his late 30s. And you don't really have a right guard. We still don't know entirely who that is. So I don't understand why they would tag Duggar, whatever tag they used. Forget the transition tag part of it. If you want to get worked up about that, I guess you can. I'm just telling you the bigger issue here is they tagged the wrong guy.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we all agree on when it was more important for them going forward, especially now with all these safeties on the market, which I wonder if they're kind of sitting here and say, maybe we should rescind this thing now, or, and, you know, if Duggar's value will fall, you know, he might lose leverage with all these guys. But the transition tag was interesting because that's something you kind of use on a guy when you're worried that, you know, he's not just going to come back because you're the highest bidder, right? Like maybe he does have feelings. He doesn't want to be back here. And he's going to go elsewhere, and just offering him the biggest contract isn't going to get him back. And we've seen so many of those guys, like you mentioned, like Devin McCourty, Julian Edelman, they go elsewhere, they get a contract offer, then they come back and say, hey, do you mind, you know, matching this, or are you willing to match this? And they either say yes or no, obviously, but it's kind of seems like a weird relationship there that either they don't trust him or whether they just do view him as that important that they don't want to give him the chance to kind of do that. So that was kind of weird that I thought that I agree with you there.
Yeah. Sorry. I'm just trying to find this, the Michael Strange or the Cole Strange thing. Yeah. But
yeah, I remember, I feel like I did see that somewhere, but yeah,
it must have been Reese's Sunday notes, I would think, but
that would make sense.
I can't find like any evidence of it, which is super weird.
Yeah. But yeah, well, we'll see with the guards. I mean, I thought City So was, you know, a promising rookie year, but yeah, you don't know when Cole Strange is going to be ready. He has enough injury issues that he deals with all the time anyway, so now he's coming back from a knee injury. You need those linemen there. Obviously tackle will be a big need in external free agency and the draft. So you wish they could, I mean, hopefully in the, you know, optimistic sense is they didn't tag Onwenu, so maybe they think they're close to an extension with him, but it's also worth noting that
he doesn't have an agent. He's been doing his research. He's trying to maximize his return.
Yeah, and you know, it's also worth noting that they used the transition tag, so they weren't able to use the franchise tag, you know, on Onwenu. That was the other thing. You can only use one tag per offseason. So interesting kind of decision there, but we'll see how it kind of shakes out and how it works with Onwenu and Duggar now.
Yeah. I mean, this Onwenu now becomes the player to watch for the Patriots when we get to 12 o'clock on Monday.
Yep. Definitely agree. But yeah, I mean, tons of, you know, we kind of hinted at it, tons of safeties, you know, Justin Simmons becomes available this morning, Jordan Poyer. Do you want to talk about your Buffalo Bills? Like they seem they're.
I told you the window was shutting. I told you the window was shutting
over this roster. Yesterday they released like five or six guys. It seemed like.
Yeah. No, the window closed between ages and contracts and all that. Like they're going to have to rebuild that thing from the ground up, and they're doing it where I think the coach is on the hot seat and the GM might be on the hot seat. Also, they've got this new stadium to build. So what's their cash on hand look like? Like they're not, last, I actually think 2022 was the window shutting. I just think 2022 was the window shutting. I think last year they overperformed, but yeah, they're done. I'd love to see Justin Simmons here though. That makes so much sense to me. Poyer, I think his best days are behind him, right? Simmons would be, if they can get Simmons, we've talked about them making like one big defensive signing. If they can swing that, especially now that the edge rushers are off the board, I'd love to get Simmons.
Yeah. Cause that's like, we've talked about getting that free safety back there to take that Devin McCourty role. And that's him. Like that's the traditional more single high free safety guy and, you know, former all pro, like insanely talented. So that would be a really good addition there. I think the Cole Strange quote, but doesn't say what article it is. It says the Patriots are planning for the possibility starting left guard Cole Strange won't be ready for part of the offseason. Because of that, they're looking into adding more depth at the position. City So is the presumed starter at right guard.
Yeah, that was
Mafi saw action in his rookie season, but more help is likely needed. It doesn't say where it's from. Oh, I think Mass Live.
Okay. Wherever it's from, like, again, spring's a long way from playing meaningful games, but if they're already concerned about having enough guard depth, not great. Not great when you're worried about guard depth on March 7th after a 4-win season.
Yep. Yeah, Mass Live, that was what we heard about the Patriots at NFL Combine a few days ago. So that's where that was from. But yeah, especially because he used three mid-round picks on guards last year, right?
Shouldn't need to do that. Should not need to be adding a guard.
Yep. So we'll kind of see how that shakes out. But yeah, that just, even if they view Unwenu as a guard in this new scheme, right? Like you're just kind of back to that interior line is an issue here. So we'll see with that. Anything else internal, guys? Anyone else you think should be a priority in these next few days to try to get locked up before, you know, it seems at this point, like if you're not re-signed, you're going to hit the open market, but anyone else they should
The Sunday night before, right? McCourty resigned the Sunday night before a couple years ago. I forget who it was. They had one last year. I'm going to guess there'll be one or two guys over the weekend that we hear. I don't think there'll be higher level guys. Like I think Kendrick Bourne's hitting the market. I think Hunter Henry's hitting the market. I think Josh Uche's hitting the market, right? But would it be a guy like Anfernee Jennings, a guy like Mac Wilson, a guy like Miles Bryant, Pharaoh Brown, maybe, as I just like scroll through the list here to refresh myself, those kinds of players. I wonder if we start hearing about those guys. We get one or two of those, you know, Saturday night into Sunday night before the market really opens.
I agree with you there, but I think that's all Duggar and Wenu, most of the internal guys. So we can take a very quick break. We'll hear from our new friends over at Prize Picks. Then we can get into a little bit more of these external guys and who will and who won't, unfortunately, be hitting the free agency market.
Football season may be over, but the action on the floor is heating up. Whether it's a tournament season or the fight for a playoff home court, there's no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of year. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into serious cash. Testing my skills on Prize Picks this season is the most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. If you have the skills, you can turn $10 into $1,000 with just a few taps. Prize Picks is really simple to play, and I can make my picks and submit my entry in less than 60 seconds. Download the app today and use code CLNS for a first deposit match up to $100. Use the code CLNS for the first deposit match up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
All right. Speaking of contracts, you see the Red Sox just extended Brian Baio.
Yeah, I'm not going to take the bait. I mean, good for them. It's a good move, but long way to go.
But I mean, 6 years, 55, that looks like a good piece of business. But yeah, they got a lot more work to do than just extending Brian Baio there. But back to football. Unfortunately for the Patriots, you know, we all know they need wide receivers, offensive weapons, weaponize this offense. As we kind of expected, though, all the big guys didn't hit the open market. T. Higgins got the franchise tag. Michael Pittman got the franchise tag. There's one other receiver right up there that I was forgetting.
Mike Evans.
Mike Evans got, he got an extension to go back to Tampa Bay. So that market kind of, you know, leveled off there. And now you're looking at Calvin Ridley. You're looking at Marquise Brown. Any of those guys, you know, interest you, or are you looking at maybe like a depth piece? And now we're going to put all of our attention in that position at this loaded kind of wide receiver draft class.
Well, look, you're going to have to bridge one position of the big three, right? Quarterback, tackle, receiver. One's going to have to be a bridge. And I was kind of hoping that they would just bridge receiver. Maybe Calvin Ridley's a bridge guy. Calvin Ridley's not a long-term answer because he's 29. So even if he has a good season, I don't know how sustainable that is. And the only guys I can get excited about that are left are like secondary guys, like Josh Reynolds, Donovan Peoples-Jones. If you're going to sign that guy to play next to a guy, that's a good signing. If you're going to sign that guy to just replace Devontae Parker, what are we doing? So it's so hard to see now. And I think somebody's going to screw up and give Ridley a big contract. And I would not tie myself to him long-term. They've had too many bad contracts with receivers to do that. I'm coming around more on the idea of I'm still taking quarterback third, but you go wide receiver with your second pick, maybe even trade up into the back end of the first round if you have to. And then just sign Tyron Smith as a bridge guy, as a bridge left tackle, and hopefully on when who comes back and we revisit the tackle position next offseason. I think I said this with you on the show the other day, Brian. There's never been a Patriots beat where the tackle position was settled long-term. It's never happened. We might have to do another year of it, but you're not going to be able to bridge everything. You're not going to be able to fill everything long-term, but you do want to put something sustainable around your rookie quarterback. So if you can trade up to like 25, get a guy like Adee Mitchell and then just sign Tyron Smith. All right. Well, now you have your quarterback, you have your receiver, and I think you get 1 year of serviceable play out of Tyron Smith. I wouldn't count on any more than that. I wouldn't sign him to maybe give him 2 years and like most of the guaranteed money's up front, but you deal with tackle next year. You deal with finding your long-term tackle next year. It's tough though. It's really tough. Cause it's going to create more of a run at wide receivers in the draft as well, because these guys aren't available.
Yep. Yeah. And if you take that route, you know, you're probably still taking a tackle and, you know,
and you still take a tackle, you know,
like Javon Foster or some of those guys who had good combines that kind of pop up on your radar. And maybe, you know, he can serve as your, you know, your offensive tackle three, your swing tackle. And then if Tyron Smith, you know, he's on the older side, if he misses time, you're confident in that guy going in. It's not another Vedarian Lowe situation where, you know, you just have kind of a turnstile out there. So that's the route that you would take. But yeah, you know, receivers, it's Calvin Ridley. He's the top guy, 29 years old. You know, you take him, but at what point? Like, is he going to command 4 years on the open market? That's not in your window. And then you're looking at like Darnell Mooney, Gabe Davis, Tyler Boyd, Curtis Samuel. You know, there's been rumblings about like Noah Brown on a cheap deal, but that's just kind of the market you're looking at. Michael Thomas is going to be free, but you know, it's not any of these number one guys that we've been looking for a long time here.
Yeah, they're going to have to adjust on the fly. And again, you can't go through another year patchworking it at receiver. I think you can get through a tackle. What the wide receiver patchwork is going to look like is going to be brutal. It's going to be, again, if you swap out Devontae Parker for Calvin Ridley, you're a little bit better, but you're not where you're not remotely close to where you need to be. And I don't know that. And then people say, all right, we'll add a guy in the draft. Well, now you're just log jamming everybody. Cause you're going to play Ridley. You sign him. You got to play Bob Douglas. He's your best receiver. Juju's still going to factor in here somewhere. You can't really afford to use two premium assets on a wide receiver if one of them isn't good. So it just gets really tough to do the math on it.
Yep. Yeah, you got to create snaps for these guys. And they have, I think it's 5 receivers returning who played, you know, snaps last season. And then, you know, we all want them to add 1 or 2 guys. So whether it's Juju, Devontae Parker, we've heard trade rumblings about. Tyquan Thornton has no guaranteed money left on his deal. So some of these guys, if you bring in 2 or 3 guys, you're going to have to push some guys out. And with, you know, with Juju and Devontae Parker, you're going to have to eat some dead money. That's part of what having a lot of cap space can help you with, is maybe getting out of some of these contracts. But We'll kind of see at that spot. Not great to write home about in free agency market. But sticking with pass catchers, what do you think about, you know, tight ends? Dalton Schultz signed back with Houston, 3 years, $36 million. So Hunter Henry is the top guy on the market. And then you're kind of looking at, you know, Noah Fant, Gerald Everett, some of these Cleveland guys that Alex Van Pelt has familiarity with, Austin Hooper, Harrison Bryant. Are you just kind of back with, you know, Hunter Henry, even though that could be kind of interesting if he has to take a pay cut? Or are you looking maybe at a Noah Fant or one of these other guys on the market?
Yeah, I still think Noah Fant's the best option. I think they need a more explosive tight end, a more athletic tight end, a more well-rounded tight end, and that's Noah Fant over Hunter Henry. We'll see what the market ends up being, but I still think Noah Fant's the best option. But this is another position where get Noah Fant, but address it in day three and get a project player as well.
Yep. Yeah, because we saw so many of those guys in that day three bucket at tight end have really good combines. I'm seeing a lot of Mekhi Becton in the chat right now. I'm not really interested in Mekhi Becton as a tackle. I don't know. That's just,
he's not reliable. He's just
forced Trent Brown kind of all over again. So I don't know. I'm not really.
He's Trent Brown. Right. He's Trent Brown. He can't stay on the field, but he's also not as good when he's on the field.
Yeah. So yeah, that's the thing with Trent. If he's on the field and he's locked in, like, he's a very good tackle, where Mekhi Becton just hasn't been a very good player. But
right.
What do you think about, you know, speaking of these receivers, Tyquan, could he be better off in kind of this new offensive system here, as Brian asked?
Maybe he's just still not big enough. He's just still, we'll see if he puts some weight on, because you got to be able to block as a wide receiver in the scheme. You got to be able to create after the catch. But look, if he can't stay healthy, it doesn't matter what scheme he's in, first and foremost. That's a major factor. And he's got to catch the ball reliably. That's another thing that's not scheme dependent. Like, if the ball's hitting you in the hands, you have to catch it. So I don't think you can count on him at all. Could he end up coming into camp and surprising us and making a push? Sure. Although N'Keal Harry did that a number of times and it didn't translate. But, no guaranteed money on his contract. New GM, new offensive coordinator, the people that brought him in here are no longer here. I think he's coming into camp competing for his job. We'll see what happens over the next couple of days, but I am fully planning my first roster projection after the draft to have him off. I just don't see what's keeping him here.
Yeah. I would say, like, if they get Drake May or Jaden Daniels, you're probably going to want someone who has some vertical speed, but is Tyquan Thornton your best option? Like, could you go get Jermaine Burton or someone in the draft in the fourth round who doesn't have these durability problems and, you know, doesn't have issues catching the football and the route running issues? You could probably upgrade that spot. So any other offensive free agents you're kind of looking at any spot there? I mean,
it wouldn't hurt for them to add a running back. I think they need to do two things at running back this year. They need to add two players for, how do I phrase this? They either need to extend Ramondre and add a back, or add two backs, basically, is where I'm at. Because you need to
get two backs under contract for next season, like 2025.
For 25, almost. Basically, yeah. So if they extend them, great. Now, there's two ways they can go about it. So you go Thunder and Lightning and try to find the speed guy, and I like it, Tony Pollard or DeAndre Swift is like a spellback to Stevenson. That would make a ton of sense. Then that guy becomes your primary back. Next year, if Stevenson walks, then you draft somebody that's counter to him. I also can't shake the idea, because I don't think he's going to have much of a market, and I don't care, because I think he's a really good, really underrated player. Do you just sign A.J. Dillon and go Thunder and Thunder and just pound the crap out of the ball? Like, I wouldn't hate A.J. Dillon in the Brown scheme, really, I think, works. So, but if they don't sign a running back, I do think they need to draft one, because you do need to have a long-term plan at that position. You don't want to be in a spot next year where you need to be adding multiple running backs.
Yeah. Was he in Green Bay was he after Wolf and all these coaches, or did he kind of overlap?
I think he's that, 2020. I mean,
that's if you,
yeah, because the... he would have been Kyle Duggar's draft. So no, he was the next year, because they left.
Okay.
Wolf was in Cleveland at that point. Right. Okay. And I think Van Pelt's first year in. Yeah. Van Pelt was gone at that point. So,
okay. So they just missed him. But yeah, that'd be kind of an interesting duo. Obviously, he has some ties here. He went to BC. I'd say the other position is quarterback. I wouldn't be surprised if the backup quarterback market, after what we saw last year with all these guys going down, is, you know, maybe picks up a little bit. But I think you're still looking at, you know, for the Patriots, the names we've talked about so much, the Jacoby Brissett's.
It's got to be Jacoby Brissett. I think the list should stop there. I'm almost honestly not even that interested in Flacco. I'm sure they will be, and I think there's a chance he gets signed. But I think on the chance that you so let me start here. The people who are saying draft a guy and sit him for 2 years are lunatics.
No,
don't have that take. That's a bad. Usually, you know how we are on this show. Usually, I'm open to most takes. And as I see like five people drop off the stream, usually I'm open to most takes. And it's like, yeah, you know, we'll discuss it. I may not agree with it. We'll discuss 2 years for third overall pick. Absolutely not. It's not Jordan Love. This is not Jordan Love. Not even Patrick Mahomes. One, you don't have Aaron Rodgers or Alex Smith to sit him behind. And two, the guy you're drafting at three ideally is much more ready. If you don't believe he's that ready, you probably shouldn't be taking him third overall. So get that idea out of your head. That being said, if you need to sit the guy for like a month, that's more reasonable. I think if the rookie's not starting by Halloween, and that doesn't maybe start week one, maybe it's like Mac Jones, but if the rookie's not starting by Halloween, you have a problem. But on the off chance, you do need to get 6 or 7 games out of the veteran. I worry about a 39-year-old Joe Flacco because, you know, he gets hurt week two. Now, what do you do? I know Jacoby Brissett's not the most durable quarterback in the world, but he's also not an old man. So I would take Jacoby Brissett.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you there. And I know like the rumblings from Flacco is he wanted to try somewhere to, you know, start again, which I guess could theoretically be here, but he knows it's not going to be full time if they draft a guy. So I also like, what's the incentive for him to sign a contract right now, right? Like, couldn't he just do what he did last year and miss training camp and chill for a while and then just go to the best spot that needs a quarterback halfway through the year? So I'm kind of with you that I think it's Jacoby Brissett, and wouldn't be surprised with the familiarity there with the offense and the coaching staff if that kind of shakes out. But that's the offensive side of the ball. Obviously, a lot of the attention will be there. Unfortunately, not much to get excited about in the market. There is a lot more on the defensive side of the ball. I was going to start with the edge rushers because a lot of the big guys got tagged, sadly. Josh Allen, Brian Burns, one of the, I guess, top names to watch is, as you know, we have some Jets fans in the chat here, is Bryce Huff, who would be an interesting addition off the edge. And, you know, the Patriots still have stuff to work out with Josh Uche. We'll see how that shakes out, and Anthony Jennings. But are you still looking at that, you know, edge market? Because that was a place we identified, even now that the top names won't be free, at least, you know, in free agency, you might be able to trade for them. But now you're talking about a, you know, a day two pick probably and the money.
Yeah, not as much. I'm probably looking more in the draft for the edge guy. I think now I turn my attention more to Christian Wilkins. Maybe Danielle Hunter, I guess, if they can go there, I think he'd be a big enough splash. He didn't get tagged, did he?
No, I don't believe so.
He's hitting the market, right? So, I don't know. The second-tier edge guy, the idea was getting that, like, true game-changing player.
Like Josh Allen.
Right. The second-tier edge guys, for what you're going to have to pay them. At that point, I'd rather Christian Wilkins or Justin Simmons or spend on a corner Steph Gilmore. Doesn't excite me as much because I trust their ability to go in the draft and find guys to play on the edge. I trust their ability to do that. And if you hit on one of those draft picks, it changes the dynamic of the defense. So yeah, I'm less in on the edge class now.
Do you think that could correlate to maybe like a 1 year extension for Judon here at some point, maybe not at the start of free agency, but at some point before maybe OTAs or training camp? Because again, he doesn't have any, you know, guaranteed money on his deal. Something probably has to happen after that hold in last year that they kind of borrowed money. So do you think maybe they say, hey, we're not going to go pay big money for an edge in free agency. We have offense to take care of early in the draft. Let's just kind of extend Judon and keep him around for another year or two.
I mean, they're going to have to. I don't think he's going to play for no guaranteed money. So they're going to have to give him something. I think it's going to end up just being, you know, reworked this year. Maybe they add another year, but a new deal is coming for him. That's probably something more post-draft when you have a better idea of the picture. But he's going to get some sort of new contract. And I know we had discussed the possibility of trading him. I feel like if that was going to happen, we would have heard more about it by now. Because like we talked about last time we talked about it, that's something you really want to do before the draft. It's not something you want to do, you know, in May when everybody has their roster set, and you can't get picks anymore or anything like that. So I think a new contract's coming for Matthew Judon.
He's certainly talking like he's planning on being on the team.
Right. Yeah. That too. Yeah.
He's been on NFL Network the last two mornings, you know, given his free agency pitches. Who was he? Calvin Ridley and Josh Jacobs, I think.
Yeah.
His main pitches. And now today he was talking about, he was back on again this morning, talking about trading down, picking up all these assets and drafting Brock Bowers, I think. So he sounds like he plans on being here at least this year. So we'll see how that kind of shakes up. But you mentioned, or, you know, we mentioned at the start, it's like this is the safety market all of a sudden. You know, Justin Simmons, Jordan Poyer, Jamal Adams, Kevin Byard, Condre Diggs, Rashawn Jenkins, Eddie Jackson was a few weeks ago. He got released as well. So they'll see what happens with Duggar on that transition tag. Maybe they look to add a, you know, free safety more type out of that group to pair with him. And Jabril Peppers, or maybe they are looking at get that second boundary corner opposite Christian Gonzalez. Stephon Gilmore is, you know, one of the top guys. Unfortunately, Legarius Sneed was tagged, so he'd be another guy you have to trade for, probably another day two pick and a big deal. So maybe they kind of look at this and say, you know, we'll spend our money where the talent is and fortify our secondary. And then again, you can something else you don't have to worry about in the draft and can kind of focus on, you know, the offense at that time.
Yeah, I do think they have more wiggle room at corner because you have some guys like Alex Austin and Marco Wilson in the building. And if you know you're going to just play Jonathan Jones on the boundary again, it becomes less of a need. Between the two, I'd rather see them get a safety. But yeah, boundary corner, like I don't even know if they need to go as big as like Kendall Fuller, but a good second outside corner. They can't have what happened last year where, you know, your depth's thin to begin with, guys start getting hurt now. You're playing 5'8" Miles Bryant on the boundary. Like you can't, that's not good. Teams don't end up in that situation. And you know, they're signing corners off the street after Thanksgiving and putting them in the starting lineup. They need to avoid a situation like that happening again. So adding a boundary corner at some point, but I think they could probably get by if they say, all right, we're going to put the money towards safety instead. So you have Christian Gonzalez on one side, Jonathan Jones on the other. I think between Alex Austin, Marco Wilson, you'll get, you know, enough. Where you, if you add another guy in the draft to like day three project guy, you'll be in good shape. Yep. Isaiah Bolden too should be on that list. Isaiah Bolden's another guy that could contribute there.
100%. Speaking of safeties, Josh asks, would you prefer Xavier McKinney or Justin Simmons at that safety spot?
That's a good question.
I mean, I'd take either.
I take either. Yeah, I think it's really what you players. Are you signing him? You can sign McKinney. So Simmons is a better player. And if you want to maximize what the defense is going to do this year, you sign Simmons. But if you're looking at it saying, all right, Simmons isn't going to be a core player for you. He's going to come here for a year or two. He's going to play at a high level. And then that's probably going to be it. Whereas McKinney, you're talking about him being an impact guy, a guy that you bring in and all right, he's, you know, him, Gonzalez, Barmore. This is now you're adding him to being part of that defensive core. It's which way do you want to go with it? So, and there's an argument for either. I'd rather Simmons because I just give me the high-level players on defense at this point because they're going to need to win on defense. But if they were to say McKinney, like, good signing, I wouldn't be sitting here necessarily complaining.
Yeah. Yeah, he's 24, so that would be that next core kind of guys you could help build around him. There was rumors, as Aiden points out, that, you know, they checked in on Legarius Sneed. That was just kind of due diligence, just, you know, checking in on what the potential price is. So
I wouldn't trade for Legarius Sneed. I wouldn't do it because the whole
that's probably 34 you have to give up for him.
Right. And even some people have said maybe you get it done for a third. Even still, we just talked about how there's really no options in free agency at the two of the three biggest positions of need, tackle and receiver. The whole thing with Sneed was it was just money. That's all it was going to cost. And you were going to be done. And I wouldn't go beyond that with it, if that makes sense. Like they don't need a trade for him. That's let somebody else do that. They have too many needs to use both a premium contract and a premium draft asset on just one player.
Yep. Yeah. That's something maybe the 2017, 2018 Patriots could have done.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But right now, no.
Yep. What about another corner that shook loose? Trey White. I know he's dealt with a lot of injuries.
Yeah. Too many injuries.
He's not really reliable. The same same
look,
player.
If he's one of these guys that lasts to like, there's that cutoff, right? Where players don't sign because teams don't want to give up the comp picks. Then you get like that second wave of free agency. If he's still out there like a month, 2 months, and you can get him to sign a 1 year incentive heavy deal, I'd bring him back and see what he has in the tank. I would not go to the bargaining table for him. Way too unreliable for any of that.
Yep. Yeah, kind of like that period we said, if JC's still out there, right? Maybe after OTAs, before training camp.
Right.
Just want to bring him in,
yeah,
see what he's got to offer, see how he looks medically. Like, maybe that's a route they could kind of take there. But
right.
Any other last, any position defensively you're kind of looking at in free agency there?
I think that's pretty much it, right? Got edge rusher, interior, corner. Any safety. They don't need to add a line. I'd like to see him bring back Mac Wilson. Beyond that, I don't think they need to add a linebacker.
Yeah, I was going to say no, like depth, middle linebacker, off-ball linebacker.
Assuming they bring Mac Wilson back, which I think they will. It sounds like he wants to be here. He's a good fit. They're good enough there. You know, if Mac Wilson leaves, you start talking about guys like Frankie Louvu, guys like Jordan Brooks. I think they were connected to Josie Jewell a couple years ago, right? Last time he was a free agent?
I believe so, yeah.
Am I remembering? So you start talking about those guys, but I think if you have Mac Wilson back, you have your whole linebacker room back from last year, and that was a solid group. So, you know, yeah. Patrick Queen's at the top. I see people talking about Patrick Queen. He's at the top of that list. What does Patrick Queen do? Like, who are you take? Are you just going to – they're not going to take Juwan Bentley off the field. They're not. He's a captain. He's a leader.
He's a good football player.
He's a good football player. I don't know that – so, all right, who's their next linebacker? Jelani Tavaia? I don't know that Patrick Queen's handle it. It's different players. Queen's a much better player, but if you ask him to do what Tavai does, you're not going to get the best out of him. So now are you signing Patrick Queen to rewrite the entire defense? That doesn't really seem worth it to me. Yeah. I don't see the need to invest big in a linebacker.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe a depth piece. Like, I know Jerome Baker got free. I don't know what he's going to command.
If Bill was still here, I'd book it them signing Jerome Baker because he kills the Patriots whenever they play him. So maybe they still keep that going. But yeah, I mean, Jerome Baker, what's the PFF projection? I think he's like a 1 year under $10 million guy. Yeah. They have him 2 years, $8 million. Sure. But that's a depth player.
Yep. Yeah. So that's, mostly defense. I don't see any other names besides Patrick Queen that came up in the chat there to talk about. So last but not least, I guess, are we going to get a veteran kicker in here? In
probably. Agency? Probably. They should. They should. And not the top of the market guys. I don't even know who the PFF doesn't have any kickers on there.
I pulled it up on Spot Track. It was they don't have any market value, so it's tough. I guess right. Cameron Dicker is the top guy, but he's a ERFA.
Yeah, so you don't get him.
Will Lutz, Greg Zuerlein, Nick Folk, Greg Joseph, Brandon McManus, Joey Sly, Randy Bullock, and Chase McLaughlin are the other guys who are available on the
veteran. I don't know that any of those guys are coming in for a job that they're not guaranteed to win.
Yeah, they all seem like starting guys.
Go get a UDFA or, you know, after the UFL season ends, go get the top kicker from the UFL or something like that. And I don't think you're getting a kicker next week. I think we'll get a kicker at some point, but I don't think it's coming next week.
Yep. Yep. But something we, again, probably expect there for some competition with Ryland. But I believe that is all, right? That's the Kyle Duggar, Michael Winnu internal updates, some external positions and players we are looking at. Anything else we missed or didn't get to that you want to bring up very quickly, or we can wrap this up?
I think that's it. I got to get down to Gillette. I got to go to Catch 22. So, No, at this point, it's kind of wait and see again. I think we'll get something probably over the weekend, Saturday, Sunday. And then, yeah, we'll be back. So I'll just let people know we'll do our usual free agency thing where we'll have shows. They're probably going to be on the later side. I mean, no 5 o'clock shows next week. You're probably looking at 7, 8, maybe 9 o'clock, depending on the signings, how busy it gets. But, it shows Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday for sure. And then we'll go from there, depending on how it all shakes out, how the move shakes out from there. But
depending what happens.
Right. We'll do our usual free agent frenzy. And it's always a fun week. It's always a fun week. A lot of moving pieces, a lot of hope before, you know, you actually have to see it in practice. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to all the speculation around this offseason being done, or some of it being done. We still have 2 months till the draft, but a lot of speculation around this offseason being done and getting the picture a little bit more clear as we go into the draft. And, you know, like when we did the mock draft last week, like there's so many things we didn't know, right?
Yeah.
And when we probably won't do a mock draft this week, this upcoming week. I think we'll just dedicate this week to free agency, but yep. I think next week, the week after, they become weekly things, and we'll have a much better idea of what we're working with at that point.
Yep. Yeah, I was going to say, I saw someone ask if we were going to do that next week. So probably free agency all next week, and then a mock once maybe that starts to kind of settle down and we have a better understanding of where their needs are. So that'll do it for us today. Again, you know, we'll be back throughout next week. So make sure you follow Patriots CLNS on Twitter and subscribe to the channel. So, and turn on your notifications so you do know when exactly we are going live. And in the meantime, you can follow Alex on Twitter at RealAlexBarth. Head over to 985thesportshub.com to read all his Patriots and free agency coverage. You can follow me on Twitter at IamBrianHines and head over to PatsPulpit.com to do the same over there. Thank you all, as always, for tuning in. Have a wonderful weekend, and we will see you guys next week.